we actually are just in God's hands today. So let's see where God wants to take us together with you. We know that God wants us to have this program. So let's see what the Spirit says.
So welcome to God's presence. Whatever we achieve, whatever we are today, is as a result of our focus. You are what you give your attention to. Some say, well, I don't hear from God. It's because of focus. Some say, oh, I pray, I don't receive answer. It's because of focus. God will not speak if we don't pay attention. And the enemy of our soul, Satan, knows that. He knows that. That's why he wants to disfocus us, to take us to the realm where he's strong. Feelings, emotions, that is his work. When you're disfocused, you can't see clearly. You see even your God in a bad light. Okay, you know about focus. We all know camera. We have cameras at home. You have your own camera.
Yes. Even today, a phone is a camera.
Good. When you have camera, we have autofocus, huh? Okay, what's the purpose of focusing camera? Can you tell me? Ask everybody.
So why you can see it clearly.
You see, your focus go where your attention is. What I want is where I focus my attention, right? There's a person in the midst of a crowd. I'm interested. The camera will zoom on the person and now disregard everything around. This is what faith is all about. The Bible asks us to focus on Jesus Christ, and that is the issue. If I focus on Christ, that will affect my mind. If I focus on Christ, Holy Spirit will begin to remember me, the words of Christ. I will begin to see life clearly in the light of Christ. I will filter everything through the light of Jesus. And that is what faith is all about. Faith is all about focus. Faith focuses on God. If you remember the teachings of Blessed Prophet T.B. Joshua said, by looking at God, looking unto God, and looking to God, faith comes spontaneously. By looking at God, looking unto God, and looking to God, faith comes spontaneously. What do I mean? The people of Israel, before Jesus coming, everybody was having problems. They were waiting for the Messiah. Some people were suffering, waiting for solution in their lives, looking for solution from morning to evening. One day, they heard there is a man called Jesus Christ, healing the sick, setting the captive free. Everybody run to him because they have loads of issues and troubles in their lives, right? They run to Jesus. The woman of issue of blood ran to Jesus. Zacchaeus climbed the tree. So many people run to him because they face issues that no human being could solve. Immediately they heard about him, their focus changed immediately from the situation to the solution. When you know there is a solution to your problem is no longer a situation anymore. When you know what you are suffering for has a solution, there is hope. Hope comes, living hope, because there is a solution in Christ. So they focus on Jesus. Those who focus on Jesus will see the meaning of Christ in their life. We see the value of Jesus, but that focus must be for God's sake. The Pharisees and Sadducees and others never focused on Jesus, but they saw Jesus in a bad light. They were focusing in the natural, focusing on themselves, on their privilege, on what they can get from people, not on the salvation of souls. But Jesus came to bring a message completely different. That's why he was a man of the people. So people learn to look to the cross today. The Bible says we should look to the cross. Look unto Jesus. Looking at Jesus in the eyes of faith is the silencing of your fears, the answer to all trouble. That is what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Ruth, can you help us read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2? Today we are going to attack the main avenue Satan uses to disfocus our life. But we are going to use the same avenue in Christ Jesus to bring blessing to your life, focusing on Jesus. That's the narrow way. When you focus something, you narrow the focus to something you want to put in the forefront of your heart and mind. Am I right? Mm. So the narrow way is so narrow that if you don't focus, you will not see it. But the broad way, everybody sees it. That's the way the devil wants everybody to go. You have to look through the narrow way, through the viewfinder of the Holy Spirit to see what Jesus means, what Jesus is saying in your situation. Let's listen.
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, mm-hmm. and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, mm-hmm. looking unto Jesus, the mm-hmm. author and finisher of our faith, mm-hmm. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, mm-hmm. despising the shame, mm-hmm. and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Looking at who? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness.
It's interesting what you're talking about, the example of the camera earlier, because I think that is the major problem we have. As human beings, we're auto-programmed to have our auto-focus on human, on the flesh, on men and women, on the natural instead of the spiritual. And I think that's why we so often set ourselves up for disappointment, for offense, for something that we don't expect to happen to us. And that's why many people can get frustrated and lose their faith. But if our faith is on Jesus, we can never get disappointed in our faith, because Jesus is perfect. We're not perfect, but Jesus is. And that is why we should avoid the temptation to focus all the time on man-made institutions, man-made organizations, and the natural. If we focus on a man or woman of God too much, we're taking our focus off Jesus. Remember that a man or woman of God is just a signboard telling us to go to Jesus. And if we focus on the signboard, then we've lost the point. Mm. We've missed the point. And why am I saying this? Because it saddens my heart often when I see so many people that maybe said, oh, I used to believe, but now I don't. I've lost my faith. I'm going through situations. Or maybe I was disappointed or let down by a church or a religious organization or a pastor, and because of that, I lose my faith. If our faith is in Jesus, if our faith is in the finished works of Jesus Christ on the cross, everything that happens to us is to strengthen our faith in him. Mm. Because if that genuine seed of faith remains and is dig deep and is planted in the right soil, it will always remain, no matter what happens, no matter what comes. Mm. So I really wanted to take this opportunity, and we're really just being led by the Spirit of God here. If you have something you want to ask us about this or something that comes to your heart, just write it in the comments and we'll see where God leads us. But
I want to add what you said before. You say signboard. The signboard is to redirect your focus from the board to the way to follow. Mm. Paul said in that book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, who is Paul? Who is Apollos?
Mm.
We are only signboards, vessels used by God through whom you believe.
Mm.
They is someone must know Jesus, someone must point him the way.
Yeah.
We have seen a great man of God, Prophet T.B. Joshua. We can't finish talking about him. When we ran, people came to him all over the world because of miracle, because of this. He said, many people are much more around churches, around healing, around blessing, around deliverance, instead of being around the head of the church, which is Christ himself.
Mm.
And he said, miracles, healings, all these are not the means in themselves, but the means to an end.
And the end is salvation.
Salvation means relationship. Mm. My dear brothers and sisters, listen to me. Relationship is more important than gift.
Mm.
Relationship. That's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry what to eat, what to wear. Your father knows. We need relationship with the fountain of living waters. If you have relationship with your father, as a father, you will never see life in the bad light.
Mm.
Relationship matters more than anything else. So the ministers of God, the prophet, will live so many years. What was his concern? You listen to his messages or you come to church. What he was talking about? Faith. One day he rebuked everybody, saying, I don't see any Christian here. Huh?
Even the very last message he gave on the day that he departed, If you listen to that message with an open heart, you will see that he said, why do we keep asking for prayer? Instead of focusing on our character, when unfaithfulness is there, when disobedience is there, when all these fruits of the flesh are there, and we keep asking for, okay, if this man of God can pray for me, if this woman of God can pray for me, if I can receive that miracle, if I can receive that laying on of hands, if I can receive that touch. In the same way, we hear the voice of Jesus saying, you of little faith, how long should I put up with you? It's the same. If you watch that last message of Prophet TB Joshua on that day in the prayer mountain, the prayer garden, we were there. He said, for how long we continue to ask for prayer when we've not addressed the root of the matter, our character.
I will remember that message. He said, you are here for prayer. Whereas there are many things in the house that are not right. Mm. And the house with our heart, not the home, physical home. When he say, I return home after prayer, he talk about the heavenly home. His concern was to see people blessed, having a relationship with God, and walk victorious, built by faith, and walk victoriously in every aspect of your life. That's what he wanted, to become mature. That's why he gives away the faith bracelet? I'm showing my own, it's still here. Why did he give this issue? He said, if you look at me, I am Mr. TB Joshua. Mr. cannot help you, but prophet can help you. Mm. I'm giving this as thing on the outside that will remind you of your relationship with God. Everything he gives you was to point you to Jesus, to God. Everything. Why he gave you this? To reset your mind, to reset your focus on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. Not on your situation, not on you, not on your pastor, but look to the cross where the answer to what you're asking for is coming. Jesus.
And if you focus on Jesus, it puts everything else into perspective.
Absolutely.
It always reminds me of, for example, if you're traveling by plane, you know, when you go above the clouds, the things on the earth, on the ground, they look so big, huge. I don't know, is it mountains? Is it huge buildings? Things that look so big to us if you're looking at them from the earth. But when you go up above and you're above the clouds and you look down, they look so tiny. In the same way, when we put our focus on Jesus, the things that seem so difficult, an obstacle that we can't surmount, things that we can't change by ourselves, problems that we think will never go away, if we focus on Jesus rather than these things, then everything else just goes into perspective.
Good. Why do you think the man of God said that day, that June 5th at the prayer mountain, the only word he said to all of us, watch and pray. You never pray for anybody. You say, you, watch and pray. Just as Jesus said before leaving. How can I watch if I cannot see right? Watchfulness, to watch, has to do with your focus. When you focus on the right thing, your mind will change immediately. When you focus on what God says about you, your life will change. But because we focus on the problem, our feelings are affected. Our faith is even affected. We begin to doubt and have anxiety and worry. What happened? When I come to God's presence, I will say, Lord, give me biscuit. Lord, heal me. This pain is too much for me. Like Paul. Lord, give me this. Lord, do this for me. And you lost focus completely on what God is saying. If this can happen to Apostle Paul, who are we? When he came with a thorn in his flesh, his focus was the pain, was too much, because we are extremely sensitive in the flesh, we all know. Lord, remove this, this pain is too much, I can't bear it, it's too much for me. Jesus did not answer anything to Paul. Paul continued to pray, until Lord said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. He understood that God was saying something specific. God will use your situation as a net to bring you to the rightful focus. God can use your situation as a net to take you to the place where he wants you to be. Mm. Paul knew that God, the greatest challenge he was having, it was his character. He said, to prevent me from being conceited and proud, God allows spiritual burden to bring me to humility. but God was in control. From that day forward, he understood what God was saying in that situation. And this is what focus is all about. Now, you are married. What is the state of your marriage? What is the state of your relationship with your loved one? In the beginning, the focus was fantastic, right? But as you allow a situation to come, focus changes from whom the person is to what she is, what the person is, and look at the natural circumstances around you, and you lose focus. You don't see what is good. It does not take long if you focus on a human being to see something you don't like.
In the same way, it's so easy to say what God is not rather than what God is. You know, we focus on what God is not. We focus on why God has not answered my prayer. Why is this not happening? Why is this not happening? I don't like this. I don't like that. We can become so critical, whereas we don't know that complaining, criticism, it hurts the heart of God. Whereas if we actually just take time to praise him and appreciate him and thank him, that's what pleases the heart of God.
God allows us to spend so many years with the prophet, to be sure. Sometimes 19 years, 20 years, some even more. What was it for? Character building. Disciple means disciple of Christ. One day somebody asked him a question, how do you choose your disciples? They say, they are not my disciples. They are disciples of Jesus. Me, my job is to train them, to point them the way, to embrace Jesus. There is time to walk with God and it's time to walk for God. And that's the issue for every Christian we are talking today. People just believe that Holy Spirit, the gift of God, is only for pastors, prophets, and teachers. Please, it's for every believer. You are a believer. It is possible. Okay, how somebody, as I'm doing the question that I'm moving up, and say, somebody say, how do I know this is the work I need to do? This is the, how do I know this is the person I have to marry? I'm doing this question coming on the screen. It's all about focus and relationship. Who will take you to the heart of the matter? It is Holy Spirit. That's why God gave his spirit. God gave you his spirit to make you like his son, Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Spirit to become a Christian, the fruit of the spirit, and God becomes my father. He gave me spirit because of relationship. Relationship. Okay, we have natural father who disciplines us, who talks to us, but that relationship, nothing can affect it. Whether my father is poor or rich, he is my father. Whether he's happy with me or not, he's my father. I can't change it. There's a DNA that tells this is your dad. You can never deny him, right? But in the spirit, there's a DNA of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the spirit. That is relationship. We can never have the fruit of the spirit without relationship. Anytime you read your Bible, Jesus said, if you remain in me, that's relationship.
And you can't have relationship without focusing on God.
That is it. Where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart is. It's all about focus, my brothers and sisters. We have a lot of self-inflicted trouble because we allow the devil to look at the wrong direction. And when you look at the right direction, he's happy. The devil is a carnal spirit. I'm saying on the hearing of everybody. If he takes you in the natural, he knows they cannot stand the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. He knows that. But he's trying to trick you. You have a little baby. Okay, I have a little baby. He doesn't know the value of things of the spirit. If I take a little baby and the baby has $100 notes and I have a biscuit and I say, baby, give me your note, I give you a biscuit. The baby will likely give you the note and give you the biscuit because not he will eat it. He does not know that this biscuit can help you buy 10 or 100 times what you are giving him.
The note.
And the heavenly currency we talk about the note is faith. How can I have faith without focusing on the resource of God? What the Bible asks you and me, the day I discover this prophet Tib Joshua, and I understood the most important thing I learned from him is his lifestyle, the teaching. He's a man who never bypassed character. Never. When you misbehave, you're not happy, he will tell you. Because he wants you to do what is right in the sight of God. It's character that accommodates everything in our lives. How can God give me something I cannot accommodate? I marry. The marriage was very nice on the first day. But we fail to service our marriage. We fail to service our faith. We fail to service. What is service? Okay, if my glasses are dirty, and I don't clean them, how can I seek properly? How can you see the goodness of God in the life of your partner, of your friend you have for so many years? But situation happened. Because of situation, you look at the situation and you bring to see your wife, your husband, your friend in the bad light because of situation. I mean, your focus has been derailed. The devil does always the same. He will never change. This is the cup, right? Inside the cup, there is living water. This cup is you and me, human being, earthen vessel. If somebody look at you, you will not, in 1 second, he wishes something doesn't like you. Ah, this man does not speak well. This man has a beard. He looks strange to me. This man. He's got TV Joshua.
I don't like his accent.
No, I don't like his accent. I don't like his beard. I'll say, ah. Because now the devil will use your focus on the natural. It will not take long if something you don't like with the person. But it takes a lifetime to see the goodness of God inside the vessel.
Yeah.
It takes the Holy Ghost to see the living waters inside. That is why Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I came to gather you like a chicken and his chicks, but you never understood the day of your visitation. They look at Jesus in the natural. They only see a son of Joseph, a young man, but they never saw the eternal God in him. They could not see beyond the fact, beyond the natural. It is time, my brothers and sisters, to get into the heart of the matter and send Satan to where he belongs. Much of our trouble, we are self-inflicted trouble.
Because we focus on the natural rather than the spiritual.
On the natural. If you focus on the, you are in the house and God allow, there's no money on the table. You say, wow, how can I feed my children? How can I pay the scholarship? How can I pay the rent? What will happen if you are found out in the street? What a shame. You begin to focus on this and Satan is happy. You begin to focus on the natural. The thing will grow and that will create anxiety, worry about tomorrow. Jesus is the governor of your tomorrow. Who told you that what you are saying will come to pass tomorrow? Who told you that this situation you have will lead you to death? Many fears come because we anticipate. We see things on the wrong focus we have. That if you focus on Jesus, fear will disappear immediately. The day you focus on Jesus, immediately, the first thing Jesus will do, peace will take over your heart.
Because the opening of the eyes of our faith is the silencing of our fears. So when the eyes of your faith are opened, that's when you begin to focus on God. That's when the voice of fear, the voice of worry, the voice of anxiety is lessened in your heart. And the only way we can do this is by focusing on God. And let me tell you, it is an every moment assignment, because like I said at the beginning, as human beings, we're naturally programmed, our autofocus is set to focus on man.
Okay, what's focus? I want to let you go. You say autofocus.
Yes,
autofocus. No, wait. You say autofocus. Let's talk about autofocus. What is autofocus? Something automatic.
Our heart is shifting automatically.
Does autofocus ask you anything to do? If you rely on autofocus, do you have any role to play?
No, it's automatic.
Thank you. No faith. Zero faith. Faith is not autofocus. When you go automatic program, you press the button, you go.
So it has to be manual.
This flesh is autofocus, automatic.
So it has to be manual, not automatic.
The flesh wants what is pleasing the flesh, we all know, including me talking to you. The flesh wants what is convenient. The flesh wants what is beautiful, what is easy. The flesh does not want effort. The flesh always focuses first solution, what you want. But to focus on God, you have to leave autofocus. You have to go to manual and ask Holy Ghost to help you to look deep enough, to focus on the heart of the matter. Because if you are too desperate in your situation, everything that comes, you take it. If the devil come and give you his gift, you will take it. He said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, hey, turn this stone to bread. That's what he said.
Jesus was hungry, but he wasn't desperate.
Natural things. And say, if you worship me, all this money, wealth you're looking for, I will give you. Natural things again.
That's why nothing is worth trading your peace and joy with. I was talking about this morning with one of my dear friends, that, you know, nothing, absolutely nothing is worth trading your joy, your peace of mind, your peace of heart with. And, you know, because the situation that you face can tempt you to get out of joy, get out of peace. but it can only tempt you. You are the one that has the decision. Like in the same way, if you say you manually program your life like a camera, you can decide that, no, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to focus on God, because if you put your attention on God, you are what God says you are. You have what God says you have, and you can do what God says you can do. And what does God say? God doesn't say you're depressed. God doesn't say you're tired. God doesn't say you're exhausted. God doesn't say you're desperate. God says you are a man and a woman full of promise. Like defeat and failure, things of the past.
Well, that's why our problem will continue, because we are auto-focus. Auto-focus means your heart will roam. Your heart will roam from one thing to another. Roaming.
Like the way you scroll. If you scroll your social media and you just randomly scroll things that have absolutely nothing to do with what you want to look at, that's a perfect example of autofocus. That's just roaming. If you don't give your heart an assignment, it will give itself an assignment. So that is why we need to discipline our hearts, discipline our minds to focus on God, to focus on His Word.
So, an old quote of Prophet Jesus say, mind management is a priority, first priority of the overcomer. Mind management, failure to focus on Jesus Christ, is actually responsible for the crisis of our faith all over the world today. Today we focus on institution. We don't focus on the body of Christ. Today we focus on the signboard, on man, on me, on proof, on people, rather focusing on Jesus and Holy Spirit.
I actually just read a question. I don't know, I can't remember the name of the person that said, how do I know that the church where I'm in is where the Spirit of God wants me to be? You know, this is a question we hear all the time. I'm sorry, I would have said your name, but if you wrote the question, you'll know yourself.
Can I answer that question?
Yes, please.
Church is the body of Christ. The scripture says in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 13, we are all made to drink by one spirit, one body and one spirit. Any living church I go is my church. That's the body of Christ. Any spirit, any church, which the foundation is Holy Spirit, is my home, is my church. I feel at home. One body, one spirit, one Lord Jesus Christ, one faith, one God and Father of all. The foundation of the living church is Holy Spirit. The prophet said in the beginning, membership of my local church,
it's purely symbolic.
It's symbolic. Go to the teaching of Prophet Elijah, you know so well. Membership of my local church as me, is merely symbolic. What count? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah, on the last day, God's not going to come and say, okay, which church did you attend? Which church did you attend? What's the name of your church? What's the name of your group? What's the name of your denomination? What's the name of your organization? What's the name of your institution? No. When Jesus appeared to the Samaritan woman and he identified himself and revealed himself as a Messiah, he said, I've come to bring you a new way. This means you worship in your heart with your heart. It's not about a specific place.
Good. You said it all. But the church is important. Church is important. Now the question, there are two types of people going to the church. Some people go to church religiously because I want to see my pastor, I want to see my friend, I like my church, I do the fellowship, I do it in the natural.
Social interaction.
They go as ordinary people. There are some people that go to the same church, but they are going to hear from God. They are going to hear from Jesus. And when the pastor preaches a message, they are meditating to listen to what God is saying through the message. God can speak to them through the message preached by the pastor. But today, many has been to the church. If you ask them, what did the pastor preach this morning? What have you received from that message, that bread of heaven? They don't remember.
Yeah.
Me, I can be in the church physically, but my heart is not there. That's why Jesus said, these people come to me with their lips.
But their hearts are far from me.
Church is your heart. Until today's church realizes that the heart of man is a living church of God, the temple of faith, the communication point, God's dwelling place, then we see the need of Holy Spirit in our lives.
So that person that wrote that question, you know, whatever church you go to that church. Attending church is a thing of God. It's an invitation from God. When you're in that church, learn to listen to God, the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Learn to serve. Learn all these things are part of our Christian life. And if you have peace in your heart, God will meet you there.
You mentioned the new website, our communication with other churches. Mm. That means we are the body of Christ. There's no competition. There's no rivalry.
Yeah, we want to help churches.
Is the same church? Is Christ divided?
No.
That's what Paul said. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? It's not the same body. Okay? This, my hand, is useful. Look, this finger is too small. Mm. But the day you have pain on this one, or you don't have it, your whole body will be disbalanced. Every single member has its value, its importance in the body of Christ. Mm. That's why the Bible likens the marriage between a man and a woman to Christ and the church. We may have different pastors. We may have even different denomination. But the heart of the church is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. Mm.
That's why we can be much around churches, but not around the head of the church, Jesus Christ. We can be around people, around organization, around institution, but are we around Jesus Christ?
But you fail to understand that you yourself, you are the church.
Yeah.
From God's perspective, you yourself, you are the church. Paul said, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have received from God? When we go to church, the children of God, born again, come to the church to worship their Father in spirit and in truth. Mm. That's why we go to church. We are Christian. We go to church. We fellowship. We worship God in spirit and in truth. That's why Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, woman, you worship what you do not know.
Mm.
We worship what you know because salvation is from the Jews. This means only those who are truly saved can worship God in spirit and in truth. No matter your church, no matter his name, if you enter as a child of God, you worship God in spirit and in truth with your Father, in his presence.
That's what matters.
We need to understand that. If we understand that, today the body of Christ will be strong today. We will help ourselves strong than ever before. Now, it starts in your heart. Church, God, relationship, start in your heart. Don't forget that. You are the church. You are the focus of God. You are the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost does not dwell in the building. He dwells in human beings. He does not anoint pride. He anoints humility. Mm. Anointing is in your life. So what you have to do, let your focus change, my dear brothers and sisters. If you know that you, I said to everybody, every human being, you, listen to me, since the beginning of creation to the last day of end everything, there has never been and there will never be a person like you. God is a God of difference. You are unique and you don't know. If you know you are in the marketplace, if you sell a product that is unique, it is priceless. There's no competition. But you don't know you are unique. That's why you begin to see yourself in the natural. You're no longer in the spiritual. When you know that you are unique, you can see why God is interested in you. You are his product. So focus on Jesus and discover whom you are. If you don't know that you are the church, if you don't know that you have Holy Spirit, you have a spirit, how will you know God? If you don't know you have a spirit, how will you know God who is spirit? You must first know whom you are as a child of God. Your focus will tell you whom you are. It is not your philosophy. It is not your rightful thinking, but your rightful focus on God that determines whom you are before God.
Mm.
I repeat, it is not our religious, our big Bible, our cross that determines whom we are before God, but our rightful focus. When you focus on God, when you focus on Jesus, you focus on the cross, you will see life clearly. Now, the ministers of God has planted a seed in your heart this morning. Are you pregnant of the seed? Or you forget about it. You enter here. That's the parable of the sower.
What soil is that seed planted in?
The soil is your
heart.
Your heart. Mm. You are not far from what you're looking for. It's so close to you. Mm. But we focus on far. Let me go to America. Let me go to France. Let me go to Australia. But you don't know where you are. God can make you great where you are. And the man of God said when this three, you don't know that the greatness of God is not about what you do. It's not about your weakness, but what Jesus Christ has done for you at the cross of Calvary.
He made you fit for God.
Absolutely. Moses became great because of relationship. Daniel became great because of relationship. Prophet Joshua became great, Solomon great because of relationship with God in the secret place. John, the apostle, I begin to ask myself why the Gospel of John is so spiritual. Why God revealed to John the book of Revelation? Why God opened his heart, the new birth, the core essential spiritual truth of the Gospel, God revealed it to John. Why? The Bible says he was the disciple Jesus loved. He put his head on the chest of Jesus. He wanted to learn from him. Love brings everything. It's relationship. Jesus said the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does. John chapter 5. Relationship. 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 At the last day, Jesus said, many will come, hey, I prophesy, I cast out demons. I don't know you. What does it mean? You have no relationship with me. Somebody can be used mightily and dropped. But the one who has relationship, he remain in Christ forever. Salvation, eternal life come when you remain in Christ heart to heart. That is relationship. And the seal of that relationship is the Spirit of God in you. But the problem we have, how can the Spirit of God talk to me? How can I listen to him when I'm focusing on the outside?
And that brings us to practically, you know, we're talking about focus. How can we practically focus on God? And someone just asked the question, we have this all the time. How can I meditate while I'm at work? How can I focus on God when I'm in the midst of a situation where I'm busy naturally? How can I focus on God? If you're the one that asked the question, I'm sure many people have that same question in their heart. So let's go down to the heart of the matter now, basics. How can we focus on God?
How can you focus on God? Okay, let me tell you something. If you wake up in the morning, you do your program, and you dip your hand in the pocket to see how much money do I have today? Or you look at your bank account, how much do I have? And you begin to determine your possibility based on what you have in the bank account. I'm going to office. Or yesterday was tough. You begin to focus on your trouble, on your trouble, on your trouble, on your trouble. What to do? And you begin to think negatively. But the Bible says, Jesus said, remember, he said, do not worry about what to eat, what to wear, or tomorrow. This is the problem. Stop focusing on tomorrow. Tomorrow is not you. Stop looking at the past. The past is over. The problem we have is today. If you focus on today's supply, no matter how little it is, the supply for more will come. That is, how do I call the word in English? Contentment. Focus on today. Today is opportunity. Yesterday is gone.
And God gives us enough grace for every single day.
But today you focus on the pain of yesterday. You focus on the trouble of yesterday. Instead of moving forward, you move backward. You begin to record what happened yesterday. But Jesus never came to ask you to focus on yesterday. He wants you to be a forward looker. How can I be a forward looker? Start by looking now. When I woke in the morning, who's my source? God. The first thing I drop on my bed, I went on my knee, I begin to worship my Father. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for your name. Thank you, Lord, Jesus, for your resurrection power. Thank you for the intervening in my life. I begin to thank God. I don't ask him anything. By the time you focus on him, faith comes naturally. A strength will come. You will, oh my God, instantly. Your focus will shift from your problem to God.
And knowing that you're not alone, because I think the person that asked that question was talking specifically about work. You know, anything that you do when you focus on God, you do it best because you do it for God's sake. you really, that's when you realize your full potential, because anything you can, whatever you're doing, when you do it with a joyful heart as unto God, you're doing it well, and you find joy in it, even if it's something that you wouldn't necessarily like to do otherwise.
Tell my brother, the answer is so simple. Huh? Jesus said we should combine hard work with quiet confidence in God. Mm. I repeat, hard work with quiet confidence with God. That's what you call a worker with a difference. Mm. A surgeon with a different. A lawyer with a different. A businessman with a different. We have a balance between our responsibility to God and to man. As I'm working, I work as if everything depends on me. At the same time, in my heart, I pray as if everything depends on God. That is it.
So it's an awareness of God. When you're aware of God, that's where faith comes spontaneously. You know that you're not alone. Anything that you're doing throughout the day, you continue to say, Holy Spirit, take more of me, give me more of you. You're aware of God. And that awareness of God will also check yourself. Because if you know God is watching you, God is with you, you won't say what God would not like to hear. If you do, afterwards you quickly repent. You won't listen to what God would not like to listen to. You won't watch what God would not like to watch. And you won't go where Jesus would not be welcome. So all these things, it's all about an awareness of Jesus in our everyday life. That's the best way we can learn to focus on him.
So please, Jesus said, to make it simple for you, John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in my words, take note, if you abide in my word, whatever you ask, I will do. Mm. And later he said, if I abide in you, if the word abide in you, take note of two, you abide in the word and the word abide in you. We need the two. How do I abide in the word? When I woke up and I surrounded by situation, by cloud, by trouble, difficulties, I go to the Bible. I allow God's word in the midst of my heart. What? By focusing on what God says, by reading the promise of the Bible and meditate. That's what David did. Go and read the book of Psalm. David was full of trouble every day. Today we're celebrating.
Someone called Hilali said, may you please explain what does that quote mean, particularly the quiet confidence in God part?
Okay, good. I will tell you.
Sorry, we're going fast. Right? No. Thank you so much for reminding us. Take it step by step.
I will tell you. Okay, you do the work in the natural, right? You work. And sometimes you naturally feel tired. Mm. Naturally, it happens. It's not easy. Because when you're working in the midst of people that are not believers. Because you are concentrating on how you are doing at work, how you are feeling, how people are treating you in your working place. You are measuring yourself by yourself. And when you have challenges in that work, the burden becomes too much for you. Mm. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. If I know that God is implicated in my work, rather than focusing on the situation, I say, God, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Take more of me. Give me more of you. Help me to accommodate these people. Help me to forget these people, to forgive these people. Help me, Lord, to overcome, to come out with bright colors in my work. Give me strength to do this work. God will manifest his strength and you will not complain. You will do the... Oh, my God. We have testimonies because we have not started showing testimonies. Somebody was seeing his job as a burden. But by the time you begin to focus on Jesus, praying in your heart, not in your mouth, in your heart, favor and mercy begin to come. Look at Joseph when he went to the house of Potiphar. The Bible says everything he touches prospers. Because of what? Because of God. Your work is to test your faith. You go to church today, Sunday, you listen to the word of God. How do you know you have faith? In your working place. Where God will meet you in your personal life to prove himself? In your working place. In your house. In the community. In practical side. That way God will manifest the strength. And I, if I know Jesus is with me in my work, who can be against me? Faith in Christ Jesus brings restfulness because God is with you anywhere you go.
That's the quiet confidence that we're talking about.
That's the quiet we are talking about.
It's knowing that, yes, you're working hard in the best of your ability to do what you can, but you're combining that with a quiet confidence in God. What does a quiet confidence mean? That an unshakable confidence. Nothing can change your mind about what you believe about Jesus.
Thank you.
Nothing can change your mind about what you believe about God's ability in your life. That it's not your effort that's going to make the difference. It's God's strength in you. That doesn't mean you sit around and do nothing. No. We also, you know, whatever you do, we work hard to glorify God in everything that we do. To glorify God.
Can I give you two examples? Because what you're saying is important. I want to chip. Two examples. There was one sister, I think, who was working in Sudan, that called a prayer and said, my boss is traveling to UK. I don't know whether she's here online. And tomorrow, I find myself addressing people, talking to important people. And anytime I talk to people, I'm afraid. I don't have the confidence. We pray for her. We say, allow Holy Spirit to speak through you. She went and surprised herself. She spoke, word was flowing. That's the confidence, the strength of Holy Spirit. We have one sister that was doing a thesis in the University of here in the UK. She may be online from Botswana. I said, sister, don't worry, we pray. Holy Ghost will get you. She stood her thesis and spoke as you've never spoken in your own life. Anytime the prophet's telling me, go and preach the message, you too. I was afraid to talk. I never preached in the church. Scone was a big church. It's a big church. So when I came down in the altar, anytime I come down from the control room to this, I stop, make a pause, and hold my breath. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. I have no words of my own. Help me. Give me words. Speak through me. And I realize it, He will do it. That's what we are talking about. Begin to involve God in every department of your life. Once you know that, you will not kick God out of your marriage. You will not kick God out of your job. Because you think God is only on Sunday service. And that's the problem we have.
And I actually even wanted to encourage all mothers who are watching me because, wow, motherhood is a big job. And that job, you do it, you know, with all your heart for God. It's a way of serving God, you know. The work, the effort that no one sees, God sees and God rewards that. So, you know, when we're talking about work, we don't necessarily mean a 9-to-5 job. Anything you're doing in your life, don't feel like you're wasting time that you could be spending with God. As you're doing that, you're doing it for God's sake. When you do it well, when you do it with your heart, when you do it to honor God, when you do it not to be seen or appreciated by others, you know, God sees the sacrifice that you make with your time, when you sacrifice to do the right thing, even then when it's difficult for you, when it's not convenient for you, maybe when it's painful for you, God sees that and God values that. Mm-hmm. That is why I want to encourage you not to complain, because it's so easy for us to focus on things that we'd like to change in our lives, whereas God has already given us an assignment from Him. And you might say, I don't have any assignment from God. I'm not a pastor, I'm not a minister, I'm not working for God in that way. As you are alive, you have an assignment from God. The people that He's given you around you to care for, to be a sister, a mother, a brother too. These are people that God wants to use you to speak into their life. So I just wanted to encourage as well all mothers, you know, because that the job of a mother never ends. So definitely you have to do it with God. If not, you can't.
We are talking about the practical side of Christianity. Mm. It is practical. What makes this practical? How to apply the word of God in our daily living. Faith is a lifestyle of trusting in God. Faith cannot take a day off.
Sorry, someone just said, I'm a mom to twins. It hasn't been easy. Wow, I salute you. I salute you.
Praise the Lord. Whatever you have here on earth, the Bible says we have an overcomer. Jesus is with you. That's why He says you are in the world. But you are not a part of it because of your faith. This is what faith is all about. What's the meaning of faith if we don't apply it in our life? Okay, do you know human being? You can't see the heart of a human being, but God sees the heart. Holy Spirit is here in our midst. You can't see Him. You can't touch Him, but He sees you. He knows you. He knows your thought. He's absolutely real. You need to experience His reality in your life to know that He is here with you. The question is, why is He not speaking to me? Say, why God doesn't speak to me? God is speaking to you because He's not here.
It's true. He's speaking to you every moment, but is your heart focused on Him?
Huh? And somebody just said, how do I know it's my thought or the thought of the Spirit? That's the problem, is your focus. Your focus will tell you where the thoughts come from.
Yeah, how can I know I am making blessing? How can I know I'm making progress in God? Is there a way to measure it?
Yeah.
But is that the one you're talking about?
No, the one previously. I saw someone just passed by saying...
People are writing questions. This is great.
I try to read your question to answer. But I'm saying that number is, how do I know my thought on God's thought? But you focus. Mm. Okay. If now something happened in my life, somebody provoked me, you think about it. It's your thinking processes. What you think will determine your future words and actions.
Mm.
Mm. But if I look on the offense done to me and I begin to filter it, oh my God, I will begin to... Sometimes we, particularly in the area of Africa, we love each other, we don't talk, we don't like to fight, okay? We keep things in our heart. You keep. But that thing is building up. All of a sudden, you burst. So instead of focusing on that thing till it bursts, why can't you choose to focus on Jesus?
Mm.
You say, I leave it for God. When you focus on Jesus, immediately you understand what they mean. Leave it for God.
Don't worry yourself. Leave it for God.
You all know the man of God. Today, everybody praises to be your
Jesus. Am I right? Is alive.
Everybody, including me, everybody. But this man, what he went through, do you know what he went through? Why he was able to survive all this? Because focus was not broken. You say, you are here today because focus was not broken. I'm alive today because my focus is not broken. So please, by the grace of God, this program is not only today. We want to have it regularly to tackle the issues of our life and to build our faith in Christ that God is with you. Whether you are in the church, outside the church, physical body, in your household, you have to develop that relationship. That is your duty. Mm. That is my duty. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, abiding in my word is my focus. Me and God will never open the door of relationship to the one who keeps his Bible shut. Mm. My focus is this one. I choose to open this Bible. Nobody forced me to open.
Mm.
I choose to read it because I want to know what God say.
Mm.
I choose to believe it in my heart. And before you realize, thinking about it, Holy Spirit will come. If you see your genuineness, and change your mind. He will act in your mind first to renew your mind and help you to understand what you're going through. And once you understand it in your heart, in your mind is renewed. Before you realize it, you forget about asking for biscuits and begin to praise the goodness of God.
Sorry, Lembani said, what is troubling is to feel as if your relationship with God is not okay. The very fact that you're feeling that means you're focusing in the right direction. Because if you're feeling that your relationship with God is not okay, you're sensing, your conscience is telling you that something needs to be put right. That means your heart is sensitive to the Spirit of God. I'm sorry to cut you.
Thank you. What you say is fine. What I want to say is this one, by the grace of God, we are going to improve our studio that we'll be able to call this brother and talk to him live. That we are going there. But it's still about focus, as you rightfully said.
Mm.
What makes you a Christian? When you commit wrong, when you miss the mark. How do I miss the mark? When I focus on the wrong. I want to shoot an arrow. I focus on the wrong direction. I miss the mark. My heart tells me, but I did not right.
That's what makes you a Christian.
That's what makes you a child of God. You commit wrong.
When you want to be forgiven.
Yes, immediately. What did you do? You turn your heart to the right focus. Holy Spirit, help me. Take more of me. Give me more of you. By the time you meditate, God will give you a revelation and your focus will come back to the vision. Mm-hmm. Remember the dream God gave. Why God gave us dream and vision? To stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in the place, if your dream and your vision is challenged by situation or by man, remain focused in God's word and promises.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not a man. He's waiting for you on another way of faith. He's there with you. So please, we have to renew our mind. And we'll talk about it later. How to put on a new man, to get our mind renewed. We have faith, we talk about the Bible. But we don't know how to renew our thoughts and mind every day. And that's where the focus is. So please, what you're looking at can influence your thoughts and take you to the wrong side. And the devil is happy to derail you from the natural focus in God. So looking at life, it's trouble, it's difficulty from the natural point of view.
Is a trap from Satan.
And the trap was that to derail your focus from God to your problem.
Mm. So don't fall into that trap.
It breaks your focus and failure will come. You begin to see the size of your problem bigger than God.
Mm.
If you think negatively, you speak negatively, you will act negatively. That's what the devil wants. So what do you do? When Moses was at the Red Sea, it was a catastrophic situation. What did he do? The people look at it and say, hey, death has come. Oh, the end has come. But Moses, what did he do? He looked to God, look at God. Focus is inwardly looking. Natural, you look on the outside. You look at me. And you say, ah, this man, this man, this man, this man. But if you look inwardly, to your heart, you will see the reflection of whom I am. God will tell you, who is this man? TB Joshua 7 day, you are here, you see Mr. TB Joshua. Mr. cannot help you, but prophet, while you're looking at me, fire on with your first blessing. Ask God to reveal who is inside of me, whom I am. Every one of us, we have human nature, and we have the nature of Christ. It is the nature of Christ that dreams and receives vision and revelation in you. This is what I talk about, focus.
Sorry, someone's just asked, when is the right time to pray? You have said previously to pray when you receive a clear light. But what is that clear light?
Okay. Good. I mean, don't rush to ask God, Lord, okay, you the bank say, sir, overdraft. Tomorrow we are going to collect your credit card. That's what the bank said, right? Oh, my God, how will I do this? How will I pay this? You begin to get the trouble. That's what you're focusing. Everything is darkness. What are you thinking about it? How can I do? You don't know, the letter may be even a mistake. You say, hey, God, you begin to imagine things. And in the midst of your prayer, all of a sudden, God gives you a vision. That something is coming. You never expected. A promotion is coming to your job. Increase is coming to your job. They will override all this. You never saw it. But the moment you see it, your focus changes. And a little anecdote, Ruth, I want to tell you what happened to me. Yeah? I was looking for one of my cross I lost. I looked, where is the cross? I look, I couldn't find it. I slept off. In the dream, God showed me that the cross was under something like on top of it. I say, okay. I begin to open all my pillow, I couldn't see nothing. I sit down here. All of a sudden, something say, go up and check this place. I went, I opened the drawer. It was under something. I opened it, the thing was there. I went on my knee. I said, thank you, Jesus, you are alive. God knows your thoughts and your heart and your mind. Job said in 33 verse 4, the problem you have today, the crisis of your faith, the question you are asking is simply because of focus. To see the light you are talking about, the light comes when the Holy Spirit gives you revelation of God's opinion about the matter.
So the clear light that we was asking about in the question is not rushing to pray, getting your heart in the right state first.
I think this is why I just showed that video.
Oh, okay.
I want to show you an example. This is an example of what we are talking about. We're going to use this. Ruth, what does the man say? He said, please, it's not to boast about anything. The Bible says to boast in the Lord. I want to give a practical example of what we are talking about. Let's watch the video and explain. I was here in the same place I'm talking to you here in Europe. This person is in Asia, Indonesia. The next day, I check on Google that 12,500 kilometers between this woman and me. I'm a single human being. I never knew this woman from Adam. I don't know who even she is. She doesn't know me. She can't see me. I can't see her. I'm not closer to her. She's not seeing me. She's just hearing my voice. I'm just seeing the image on this board. So I was praying for this person as interactive prayer. My faith is in Jesus because I'm just a medium. When you pray for somebody, we are setting this person aside for the special attention of the Holy Spirit. So when we call the name of Jesus praying for someone, the Holy Spirit from heaven will descend on the person and perform the miracle according to the will of God, not according to me. So when somebody say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, that person is simply being set aside for the intention of the healer, Jesus, through the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God himself. My human hands cannot reach this person 20,000 kilometers from me. So
And also that person's faith has to be in Jesus, because they're not seeing someone that will physically touch them.
Thank you for
saying
that.
They won't feel someone physically touching them. Therefore, their faith has to be on Jesus.
Faith is a connection.
Mm.
So she closed her eyes and she's praying to who? To Jesus Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, we told a message recently, the reality of God.
Mm.
God is real. The book of Hebrews says, he who comes to God must know that God exists and God is a rewarder. If you believe that Jesus has risen from the dead and he's alive, he knows you. He knows your thought and your heart. He's God. Jesus is able to touch this person. He knows this person anyway. That's an expression of my faith in Christ. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm asking the Lord Jesus, who filled the heavens and the earth, in his mercy, to touch this person. Because Jesus commands us to pray for people. That's what he said. Whatever you ask in my name, I will see to it, it is done. But that prayer is not for selfish. I can't say, Lord, heal us in the name of, it don't work. The gift not for me, it's for others.
And it's not at your will, it's
not
God's
at my
will.
So, thank you for saying that. I never say to the person, this is the person, carry no placard. I don't know what she was here. She was there for breakthrough. Only God knows what she was asking for. What was the problem with this one? So I cannot just say, be healed. So I have to pray the meditation for God to reveal, to speak to her. It is Jesus that speaks to her. It is Jesus that touches me. It's the Holy Spirit. Man cannot do the work of God. It's the Spirit of God that does it. The glory belongs to him, not to a man. We are just vessel. That's the importance of faith. It's not my hands. It's not me. This is what I learned from the prophet T.B. Joshua. And that's the reality of faith. We are expressing our faith in the finished work of Jesus and God's ability to manifest his compassion and mercy to touch this woman. That's all. When Peter stood to say, silver and gold I don't have.
But what I have,
I give you in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Now, Holy Spirit will come and manifest his glory in the life of this person. Now, let's just watch. Let's watch and see.
Jesus Christ.
When I was praying, I knew that something in her mind is disturbing this woman, but I don't know what it was. I say, be free. I just pressed my hand here. Be free in your mind and the things in the heart. Mind and heart. And I lay my hand in the heart. The Bible said the sickest of heart is known by Jesus alone. So I pray and continue to pray for freedom of heart. The Bible said if the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. And that freedom is what? Your spirit.
Yeah, the liberation. That's the real freedom. Liberation of our spirit.
Absolutely. That's why we have to be careful before we utter anything. Jesus knows the heart. Jesus knows what is the problem with this woman. I don't know. I'm a human being, but Jesus knows. Let's watch.
Now, pause.
I learned from Prophet Elijah. He said, when you speak God's word over the situation or a person, you have released your faith in Christ and brought God's power onto the scene. Mean, when you speak the word of faith, praying for a person in compassion and love, I've expressed my faith as a prayer person to Jesus, believing he will bring his spirit to answer. And God's, how do you know God's spirit come? See the reaction.
Jesus.
Now the Holy Spirit is poured upon her. The spirit, one second. Pause it. I say, whatever is troubling you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, what man knows the things of man? Ruth, can you read it for us? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9.
But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Hmm. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit.
The verse before.
But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
No, before, verse 9.
From verse 6.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Eye has not seen, nor mm-hmm. ear heard, mm-hmm. nor have entered the, into
human
the heart of man.
My eyes cannot see the heart of this woman, but the heart of the matter Jesus knows. My natural ears didn't hear anything that Jesus knows. Continue.
The things which God has prepared for those who love him. Mm-hmm. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God.
Thank you. The Holy Ghost, now he's searching the heart of this person. He's the one doing the work. The work of revelation is Holy Spirit. The clear light you were talking about is this one. God has to reveal the light of his will into your life. To tell you, the woman was worried about something, but God was giving light. The mind of Christ in this matter that is disturbing her heart, which even me, I don't know. Let's continue. Stop. Stop. As I pray, a message came to my heart that this woman, there is a girl that needs this woman so much, that needs her help. I have no idea to know this woman. When anything comes over me, God will give you expression. You will begin to say things that you are not one speaking. Holy Spirit speaks through you. We have to understand that it's not my thought. I can never think about this. Holy Ghost just came in his mercy when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how you can speak in tongues. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your prayer, you can ask something according to the will of God. That's what I want to tell you. This is not because you're a pastor or a prophet or whatever. God wants to do this in your life of every single person who believes in him. If you have a husband and you are one spirit, your husband is hiding a trouble to you because your Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. If it is America and you are in Africa, he has problem, God will reveal it to you. That's the Spirit of God that reveals those things to us.
But the Spirit of God is all-knowing.
All-knowing. He's real. So, let's say the woman, I asked the woman, do you have a daughter? Could go, let's continue.
They need her help so much.
Ada seorang anak perempuan yang membutuhkan pertolongan ibu. Siapa itu anaknya? Bukan perempuan, tapi laki-laki. Is it? It's a man.
Stop. Me, I don't know. This is what came over me. And I said it. The woman said, it's not a girl. It is a boy.
That she has a son, right? Yeah.
She has a son. Because she has two sons. She doesn't have any girl. But this message of God was saying there's a girl that needs this woman so much that is with her. And that was what God was focusing. The light of her trouble was not his son, but this girl. And God knows me. I don't know. But what is the trouble? She will see after. I say, I'm seeing a girl. The woman say, no, it's a boy. Let's continue.
I'm seeing a woman that needs your help.
Stop. So the conviction in me was so strong. That's why I want to tell somebody to ask, what's the difference between my thoughts and the thoughts of God? My brother, one person asked a question to Prophet T.B. Joshua in 2005 in the crusade in South Korea, in the pastor's conference. I remember. The pastor said, man of God, how do I know that the thought of my heart is God speaking to me? The prophet said, God is not a God of confusion. When God wants to speak through you, he will give you a conviction that nothing can change.
A heart conviction.
A heart conviction. My heart had the absolute conviction of faith that this is what God said, that there is a woman who needs your help. And I told her, I see a woman who needs your help. At that moment, I say, okay, it's all right. Can you continue?
Lihat seorang wanita yang membutuhkan pertolongan.
You are free.
I say, you are free? You, what do you want to say? Pastor. Nothing else. That's my stop.
Now? Perkenalkan, saya Ruth Alvia Waidalela dari Jakarta. Saya sangat bersyukur bisa bergabung dan mengambil bagian untuk didoakan melalui Jakarta Interactive Prayer Line. Saya sangat bersyukur dan terima kasih pada pastor yang sudah mendapatkan nubuatan bahwa ada seorang anak perempuan yang membutuhkan pertolongan saya. Ternyata itu terkonfirmasi dan benar adanya bahwa ada seorang anak yang waktu itu...
Stop. I never knew. This woman said that she met a woman in the hospital and that woman was about to deliver. but I don't know why the woman could not take care of this child. So maybe she was having this in mind, either to give it to somebody or she was worried. But this woman said, God told her in her heart, go and meet this woman and take care of this baby at the place of the mother. I can never know this by my human nature. Let's continue what to say.
Lahir di rumah sakit dan Tuhan bilang, Alfi, ini saya okay. percayakan so, padamu.
Now she said, Holy Spirit, oh my God, you who doubt God in your life. This woman, she's not a prophetess. She's not an apostle. But she said, a voice said, Alfia, that's her name. I give this baby girl to you to take care of. That's the voice of Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive through his word, by his spirit. He speaks to those who are closer to him. This woman, because she has relationship with God in prayer. Jesus spoke to her clearly by name, Alfia. I give this baby girl to you to take care of. That's what God said to her. Now, this woman, she heard the voice. Let's continue.
Dan engkaulah yang akan menjaganya dan saya sampai sekarang menjaga Spurs. Anak ini.
This is the girl. So the girl was a baby girl. From first day, she has been nurturing that girl as a biological mother. Feeding the girl. We purposely blurred her face for respect of privacy. She has been taking care of this girl for 9 years. She's not her biological daughter, but she adopt and take care of this girl. And she went to ask herself, is it really, sometimes God speaks to us and we say to ourselves, is this really the will of God for me to do this? That voice I heard. Anytime God gives us a thought, yeah? Sometimes the devil will begin to doubt. Did God really show me that dream? Is it really true?
That means the message that God revealed to you was a confirmation of what God had told her in her heart.
That is just it. That is why, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be deceived by any person that stands to say, I'm a prophet, this is. If you are a child of God, you have Holy Spirit. God will reveal to you as he revealed to her. But the problem you have, you don't know it is God speaking to you. That's why God allows somebody else to speak a word that will confirm what you have received. If God says, this is your wife, somebody goes, ah, God has shown me the dream, you are my husband. I ask you, did God reveal that to you? He's not a God of confusion.
Yeah, God has to reveal it to you.
God has to reveal it. You must have conviction in your heart. It's not everybody that speaks you listen to. God has to speak to you that makes you a child of God. Holy Spirit in your life is to give you, take you to faith and conviction. Otherwise, you'll be tossed by and formed by any person
and
that speaks.
That's what the University of God is all about. For you to have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit.
So you can be able to hear God and not doubt him. When you begin to hear God's voice in your working place, in your situation, Holy Ghost does not, we men, we speak anyhow at any time. But God speaks when it is necessary. When you are in trouble one day, you are worried, all of a sudden the Spirit is going to speak to you. How? It can be a word, she heard a voice. It can be in a dream. God speaks in one way or another, but we don't pay attention because we focus on something different. This woman say, ah, I don't have money. She was worried about this issue. Is it the will of God for me to do this? And that's what this word is confirming her to her. Now the child is 9 years old. Let's continue.
Sekarang sudah umur 9 tahun dan dia seorang perempuan yang sampai sekarang ini saya asuh dengan penuh kasih sayang dan saya sangat bersyukur dan menyayanginya seperti anak kandung saya sendiri sampai sekarang dan saya didik dia takut akan Tuhan sehingga saya mendidik ini bertanggung jawab dengan Tuhan agar anak ini nantinya bisa mempermuliakan nama
One pause.
Tuhan.
She said the word responsibility. You are responsible of the revelation that God is giving you.
Write that one down. I want to write that down.
I'm talking to you. You are responsible of the revelation God gives to you. You are responsible of the vision God gives to you. If God gives you a word, a revelation, a command, or a word, you are responsible. If that vision is challenged by any other person, stay in the will of God. Remain focused on what God has spoken to you. Don't change that vision. Obey that word God has spoken to you. Now, to say, let's continue.
Berjanji untuk mendidik anak ini mendidik anak ini sampai akhir hayat saya bersyukur menjadi maminya. Saya bersujud, berlutut, berterima kasih sama Tuhan Yesus yang
Now the woman say, I am on my knees. Can you go to book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 14, verse 25? Holy Spirit, just allow this to happen to teach us, to train us His ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 25. What does it say?
And thus the secrets of His heart are revealed.
Come to the before.
And so, okay, but if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed.
That's what happened. She was in the church.
And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you.
Jesus is now amidst. She said, I'm on my knees to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for reminding me. That's the word I want to use, reminding me. Whatever a person said to you from God is just a confirmation of what God has put in your heart first. In the New Testament of Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have dreams we cannot understand. God speaks to us, but God in His mercy, at the time of need, He brings to our remembrance the very words of Jesus. So if a prophet speaks to you, it's a confirmation of what happened to you already. In my personal life, I received a word of God. In 1996, before I knew Prophet T.B. Joshua, when I met the prophet, he used the same word without knowing me. I said, this is the man of God. This is the confirmation. That's why I didn't mind to drop everything to follow this prophet.
That was a confirmation of the calling that God had already given
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. But God spoke to me when I was in France in the wilderness in 1996. And I have a dream of that man, taller than the mountain, and the man was T.B. Joshua. When I met him, he spoke the truth to me. I said, this is a prophet. No one can tell me anything about this man. I know who this man was. God revealed to me he's a prophet of God. And I decided to leave France and everything to stay in Nigeria with him. If you don't have vision from God, if you don't have revelation from God, anything else will change you. But if you receive something from God, clear light come, understanding come, your mind is settled, belief come. Faith come and nothing can change you. Now she's thanking God. She's no longer worried anymore that this is the will of God. Jesus for reminding me that I am responsible for this girl. Jesus has given this girl to this woman. Because of that, she knows that it's not me, it is Jesus speaking. But I thank God for the life of this woman. She never mentioned my name. God bless her for that. But she mentioned Jesus. Now she recognized that Jesus is the one that spoke to her that first day. So, what are we saying? It's all about focus. What are you focusing? Jesus said, come to me, oh, you are heavy laden. I will give you rest. If you are troubled and you are a Christian, you should believe that Jesus is real. And He will meet you at the point of ascension through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, why we don't hear? Because the state of our heart is damaged. Unforgiveness, unforgiving spirit. We fight. We condemn people. Our heart is, if your heart, like, as my glasses are dirty, I cannot see through.
Complaining.
Worry,
anxiety.
Fighting.
Criticizing.
Go to the Word.
Fighting.
Look to Jesus.
That's why, especially in the world we're living in, which is so divisive and polarized, it's such a temptation to take our focus off God and start to focusing on the failings of people around us, or maybe those in government or any leadership position. When we're called to put our focus on Jesus.
So if you want to focus on Christ, we call it rightful focus, you have to pay the price of forgiveness. Unforgiving spirit damages your heart.
Are you writing this down? I hope you're there with your pen and paper.
If you have to have a rightful focus on Jesus, you have to pay the price of forgiveness.
Why do you say the price?
Unforgiving spirit locked your blessing in the past. What God asks from you to do is your genuine willingness to carry your cross. That's how you pay your price. Jesus said, deny yourself. Don't do your will, do my will.
That means choosing to forgive truly from your heart is sometimes painful.
That's what Jesus said. Carry your cross and follow me. I mean, deny yourself, deny your will and do my will. His will is Love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, and look unto me. That is faith that focuses on Jesus. If we learn to do that, our life will change. This woman is an example that Jesus can speak to any ordinary person. If you doubt what I'm saying, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, you read from verse 11 to verse 12. When God descended on the mountain of Horeb, Moses was in the secret place talking to God heart to heart. But that day, God spoke to every single person of the congregation of Israel in the wilderness when God descended on the mountain of Horeb. Let's listen.
Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice.
You only heard the voice. Every single person heard the voice of the Lord clearly. So please develop.
And this is the voice of the Lord.
That's the voice of the Lord. Develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you will hear his voice clearly. This woman is walking with God. She's an ordinary person like you and I. And God is leading you. This is what the Bible says. Be led by the Holy Ghost and walk in the Spirit.
It's an encouragement for everyone who maybe thinks that, oh, I can't hear from God, or I'm not serving God in this way or that way. There's an assignment that God has given to every single person on this earth.
Thank you.
And the question is, are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart? Anything anyone else tells you, it should just be a confirmation of what God has already placed in
your
heart.
Thank you for saying this. So please, if you hear prophet, you don't need a prophet to lead your life. Holy Spirit leads you. I have to tell you the truth. So Jesus said, watch and pray. To watch means to walk in the Spirit. That's another way. Led by the Holy Ghost, you pray led by the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you must be led by the Holy Ghost. So Spirit prayer, pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will supply the revelation and the expression, give you what to pray for and how to pray for. If you say it, answer will come from heaven. God is waiting for you at the point of his Spirit. So what you need, your focus. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. So that was just an example of how God speaks to every single one. And the question is, are we paying attention to God's Spirit in our heart?
Yes.
And the only way we can pay attention is when we're focusing on it. Because if we're not focused on it, how can we listen? God speaks to us every day. God speaks to us through every situation. So the question is our heart ready to listen? And is our heart ready to take responsibility for what we receive from God? Because if God reveals something to us, then there's a responsibility attached to that. Are we running with it? Are we actually, you know, committed to that? Once we've accepted Jesus, that means we're committed to be an agent of truth. An agent of love, an agent of forgiveness. That means we've committed to pay the price of forgiveness in our heart. Are you committed to be an agent of love, forgiveness, faithfulness? Well, it's not easy. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit.
So, it's okay. Can you hear me? So, okay. I want to pray for you. We're going to end this with our prayer. So we're going to pray for every single person. For the Holy Spirit to begin to open the eyes of your faith and the eyes of your heart to begin to discern his voice and begin to understand when he speaks to you. When the Holy Ghost gives you word, he will give you understanding. That's the light of understanding. And then he will give you conviction that this is God. You can see, I say something, the woman says something, I stood on my ground because of conviction. So when the Holy Ghost gives you revelation, he will give you understanding and conviction to stand, and nothing will change your mind about what you said and will come to pass. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for the body of Christ, for every single person. Your sons and daughters all over the world are watching. Lord, the only way to know you is by your word. We know God by the word he speaks. And you commanded us to walk in the Spirit means to watch. And to pray in the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. You have said in the book of Haggai, do not be afraid. Haggai chapter 2 verse 5, that my Spirit is in your midst. the Holy Spirit is in our midst. Why? Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two are gathered in my name, I am there. Jesus is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will give you another comforter. Who was the first comforter? Jesus. Who is the comforter today? Holy Ghost is in our midst. So right now I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:12, that the eyes that can see and perceive and the hearing ear is gift from God. Father, I pray today, open their eyes to see clearly the light of revelation of the Holy Spirit in their heart, in their life. Lord, I pray, give them a hearing heart to be able to enter the counsel of God, to the realm of God, and to hear your voice and to distinguish your voice. Lord, everything we do, there is a realm, there's a dimension. There's a realm for prayer, a realm for revelation, a realm for prophecy. I pray, Holy Ghost, in the Spirit, take them to a place where they will hear the revelation, the intimation of the Holy Spirit in their lives, in the name of Jesus. Give them a hearing heart. Open their heart to the holy words of the Holy Spirit. Open their heart to the Holy Spirit to bring understanding. Open their heart to faith, to act faith, and to see life change in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you so much. We love you, and Jesus loves you more. Until next time, here on the UOG.
Jesus Christ is alive. Thank you.